This case is here on writ of certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. The respondent, Gonzalez-Lopez, was charged with conspiracy to distribute marijuana in the Eastern District of Missouri. The district court repeatedly rejected motions of the out-of-state attorney that Gonzalez-Lopez had hired to be allowed to represent him. A different attorney represented Gonzalez-Lopez at trial, and he was convicted. He appealed. The Eighth Circuit concluded that the district court's error in excluding Gonzalez-Lopez's chosen counsel was a violation of the Sixth Amendment right to have the counsel of choice, and that this violation was not subject to harmless error review. It therefore vacated the conviction. In an opinion filed with the clerk today, we affirm the judgment of the Eighth Circuit. The Sixth Amendment provides that, in, quote, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, close quote. This gives a defendant who can afford counsel the right to choose who will represent him. The government concedes that Gonzalez-Lopez's chosen counsel was improperly excluded, but it contends that any violation of the right to counsel of choice requires a showing of prejudice, that is, a showing that it affected the outcome of the trial. The right has been accorded, the government argues, not for its own sake, but for the effect it has on the fairness of a trial, so that if the trial has not been unfair, or at least if the defendant cannot show that it would have come out differently, no harm has been done. It is true enough that the purpose of the rights set forth in the Sixth Amendment is to ensure a fair trial, but it does not follow that the rights can be disregarded so long as the trial is, on the whole, fair. The government's line of reasoning abstracts from the right to its purpose and then eliminates the right. The Sixth Amendment right to counsel of choice commands not that a trial be fair, but that a particular guarantee of fairness be provided, to wit, that the accused be defended by the counsel he believes to be best. The cases the government relies on involve a different right, namely the right to the effective assistance of counsel. Even if you've selected your own counsel, if that counsel turns out to be incompetent, the Sixth Amendment is violated. Violation of that right, the right to effective assistance, generally does require a defendant to establish that the incompetence affected the outcome of the trial. But because we derived the right to effective representation from the purpose of assuring a fair trial, it is unsurprising that we've also derived the limits of that right from that same purpose. Counsel has not been effective unless his mistakes have harmed the defense. The right to select counsel of one's choice, by contrast, was not derived from the Sixth Amendment's purpose of ensuring a fair trial. It has been regarded as the root meaning of the constitutional guarantee. Where counsel is wrongly denied, therefore, ineffectiveness or prejudice need not be shown to establish a Sixth Amendment violation. If a defendant is erroneously prevented from being represented by the lawyer he wants, the constitutional violation is complete, regardless of the quality of the lawyer that filled in for the counsel the defendant actually wanted. Erroneous deprivation of the right to counsel of choice has consequences that are necessarily unquantifiable and indeterminate. Who knows what differences in strategy or even differences in presentation the counsel of choice might have brought to the case. He might have conducted more intensive investigation or had a different theory of defense. He might have exercised peremptory challenges against different jurors. He might have conducted cross-examination more effectively. He might have had a more charming way with the jury. He might have been more trusted by the prosecutor, enabling him to negotiate a more favorable plea bargain. Or he might have counseled plea bargaining where the replacement counsel did not. The denial of counsel of choice just thus defies analysis by harmless error standards because it affects the whole framework within which the trial proceeds. The government's analogy to ineffectiveness cases is again unpersuasive. In those cases, we can normally assess how incompetent counsel's identified mistakes affected the outcome of a trial. Nothing we have said today casts any doubt or places any qualification upon our previous holdings that limit the right of counsel of choice and recognize the authority of trial courts to establish criteria for admitting lawyers to argue before them. However broad a court's discretion may be, the government has conceded that the district court here erred when it denied respondent his choice of counsel. Accepting that premise, we hold that the error violated respondent's Sixth Amendment right to counsel of choice and that this violation is not subject to harmless error analysis. The judgment of the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit is affirmed and the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. Justice Alito has filed a dissenting opinion in which the Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy and Thomas join.